Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Thank you for those that filled in last week. Brother Jamie for the family hour, Isaac for the morning, and Brother Dave for the afternoon. This afternoon, let me encourage you to stick around for our meal. We'll say more about it in our afternoon service. Caleb will be speaking for the afternoon. Looking forward to that. And they head back to college here soon. And so I'm glad we're able to give him opportunity this afternoon, and encourage you to be here for that and stay around for that. Philippians chapter 4. We've been looking at the book of Philippians. As Paul's addressing this church, this is a letter that he is writing to this church. You recall, most of it's a very positive manner of what he's writing. There was one issue where he had to deal with two ladies in the church, and he dealt with that. We looked at those truths there. Now, as we come into this portion of Scripture, we recall that he told them to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And as we looked at that, as we looked at that truth there, we were seeing this idea of not allowing anxiety and stress and depression and those things to get a hold of us. Now, it's been a few weeks. We recall we had a couple of different Sundays, and then I was gone and all that here. So we're picking up and just give a quick review, and then we're going to get into our text this morning. And this is the idea, is not to be anxious. Don't stress about the things. And it was talking about all that was happening, all that was going on. Don't allow that to get a hold of you in your lives. And we gave some really good illustrations and some statistics of how many individuals in our world today allow this worry, this stress to get a hold of them. And we went longer than normal for a Sunday morning, if you remember. And then we finished it in the Sunday afternoon service. If you have not heard that message, let me encourage you to get a hold of it. It's on Facebook. It's on our media page on our website. I believe there's some great truths that could be a help to each one. Now, as we come to this, here, look with me in verse number 10, and we'll read through verse number 13. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Heavenly Father, we ask as we look at this portion of Scripture that you would illuminate your words to us this morning. And Lord, help us to glean that truth you want us to get in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I want us to look at this thought this morning of being satisfied. How many are hungry right now? How many in about another half hour, 45 minutes, you're going to get hungry? How many of you have sat in church before and your stomach starts to growl, or the one next to you starts to growl? And what we normally do when we're hungry, we try to find something to satisfy us. Now, who was hungry? All right, here, I'm going to give you this. This is going to satisfy you. Here, go ahead. Now, is that going to fill you up? Is that going to satisfy you? Is that, Isaiah, is that going to help you? Or, wait, just a second, Isaiah. I want to help you here. Let me ask you. Will this help a little more? Maybe a little more. Go ahead. Now wait. If you're really hungry, I don't know if that's going to be enough. Maybe this will help a little bit. Will this satisfy a little more?
Yeah, he's like, yeah.
Wait, I don't think that's enough. Because I think you need more. Because, you know what, you're a growing boy. You're a hungry boy. Maybe this will help you just Hold just a second. You think that'll help you a little bit? All right. This is the idea I want us to see. Now, don't eat those yet, because we're going to do something with those. You can eat the individual piece, but not the whole bag, all right? Now, this is the idea. We get hungry, and we think this is going to satisfy us. We try to find satisfaction in little things that are not going to bring satisfaction to us. And we don't understand why we're not content or satisfied with what we have. Now, how many have heard the commercials for Snickers? It says Snickers satisfies. How many of you have been hungry and ate a Snickers and still hungry after you ate a Snickers? All right? Well, let me tell you, there's one who satisfies, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings us and gives us satisfaction, gives us contentment in our lives. We're living in a society. We're living in a day where many individuals are not satisfied with what they had. Now, remember, I gave Isaiah a piece of candy and asked him, is that enough to satisfy? Then I gave him a bunch of candy. He wasn't satisfied. Now he has 3 bags of candy plus that. Is that going to satisfy? Now, do you know that one piece could satisfy for a little while? But if it's the right type of stuff, it will satisfy us. I like protein bars. Do you know I can eat one protein bar and it will satisfy me? It will give me all that I need for that day. I know I'm weird, but I can live on protein shakes. I can eat 3 protein shakes a day and not have to eat a meal. Because in there is the protein, is the vitamins, is the things that you need to give you what you need in your life. But we're living in a society where no one's satisfied with anything. We always want something we can't have. We always want something bigger and better. How many of you remember your first car? And how many had the very nice first car? How many had a first car that you had to keep putting money into? Or you didn't want to put money into anymore, you got rid of them and got another one that you had to put money into. All right? You know what I'm talking about. But the idea is this. We have something that works. We have something that we have. But then we always see something that we want or want more. More of. More. How many love buffets? Now, who eats too much at a buffet? Almost everyone in here eats too much at a buffet or has ate too much at a buffet one time in their life. Because what happens, especially if you're at the buffets that bring it to you where you don't have to get up and go, what do you always do? Just one more piece. Oh, just one more. Oh, one more of that pineapple that's cooked in the brown sugar. Oh, and oh, man, that's so good. And you just want a little more. And we're never satisfied with what we have. Now, in this portion of Scripture, Paul is giving the secret to these individuals of the church at Philippi how to be satisfied, how to be content. And Paul is giving the secrets based upon his own life. He says, I have learned. Do you know we all have to be teachable? We have to have a teachable spirit. Do you know we're all in school? Now, some of you think, well, I've been out of school for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Something like that, Rich. And we've been out of school for a long time. But you know what? We're all in school. We're all learning. And Paul says, I have learned in the school of hard knocks. All right? The school of hard knocks. I have learned these truths. And because he learns these truths, he wants to tell this church at Philippi how they can have contentment in their lives. And I tell you, we can be content people this morning. We can be satisfied with whatever state you're in life, whatever your lot is, whatever circumstances you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever financially you're at, wherever socially you're at, wherever you're at in your life, in your relationships, in your family, in your home, in your job. We can learn to be content of where we're at. And Paul gives us that secret to have that joy, that contentment. Look at verse number 10. I want us to see this first thought here of being content. It says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." The secret of being satisfied is don't waste the opportunities that God's given you to be a blessing to someone else. Do you know that they took, you know how Paul survived? We also know Paul did some things on the side. We understand that. But do you know how Paul survived? It was the churches taking care of Paul. And Paul said this. Now, Paul, when he's writing this, we know he's in prison. Keep that in mind as well. We know he's been shipwrecked 3 times. We know he's been beaten. We know all that's happening as Paul's writing this. And he says, I know you've had some issues and there was some poverty that you had, but now you're at a place that you're using the opportunity and you're flourished again. That means you blossom again. That means you're giving again. And he says this, the secret to contentment is no matter how little we have, is being able to use it for God's honor and God's glory. I want to give an illustration here. Now, before we started in the beginning of the message, we gave Isaiah some candy. Remember, we started the small piece. We gave this and that. Now, Isaiah, you can set that to the side. I want you to go around, and I want you to pick whoever you want to pick to give this bag of candy to. As quick as you can. Okay, I want you to take this bag of candy, and I want you to give it to someone else. Brother Rex wants it. Give it to Rex. Give it to Rex. He's trying. And I want you to give this bag of candy to someone. All right. Now you see the idea. No matter what you have, you give out. Now, Isaiah, I want you to take the couple pieces of candy you have, and I want you to keep one for you, and I want you to give the other pieces of candy out. I'll take care of you later, don't worry. Okay? Now, here's the idea. God has blessed us. God has given us. And what we need to do is take what God has given us, and we learn to be content where we take the little we have and use it for God's honor and God's glory, and we give it out. What Paul was saying to this church, you've flourished again, you've been given again, you're doing it again, you've taken opportunity, and you're using it for God's glory. Do you know why we're not content? God has given us so much. God has given us so much no matter what circumstance we're in. No matter what place we're in our lives. We have more than we deserve. We have more than we should have in our lives. But we're not content because we think we need more. Give me another bag of candy. Give me a little more of this. Give me a little more of that. What we need to do is say, Lord, I thank you for what you've given me, and now I want to be a blessing to someone else because I know that person can use it. I know that person has a need. I know that person has a burden, and I want to take it, and I want to use it, and I want to give it. You know when we're content? Is when we take the resources God's given us, and we can be a blessing to someone else and a hope to someone else. Well, preacher, I don't have much. Do you know just one piece of candy can be a blessing to someone? Do you know the widow's mite can be a blessing? Do you know there is things that you can do and I can do in my life to be a blessing and help us be content. It's not just financially giving. Do you know when you try to put yourself out there and try to be in help to someone else and stop focusing on your trials and your problems and what you're going, you learn to be content and thank God for all that he gives you and all that you have in him. Thank God for the family you have. And say, all right, it might not be the perfect family. It might be some struggles in my family. There might be some trials in my family. There might be some problems in my family. But God, I thank you for the family that you've given me. And now I want to be a help and a blessing to someone else. And yes, I've gone through some trials in my life, but I can take those trials that I've faced in my family, and now I can sit down with someone else that's going through some of the same trials, and I can help them. And I learn to be content with my situation because I'm taking the situation, even though it may not be good in my sight, and I'm using it for God's honor and God's glory, and I'm reaching out and I'm trying to help others, and I learn to be content in the state that I am. The church here learned that they needed to keep giving and give again to Paul, even though they were in poverty, even though they didn't have much, even though they didn't have much there, they gave. We become unsatisfied when we want to hold it in ourselves. I'm not going to give it to you. That's my candy. Now, Isaiah could have said, no, I'm not giving that bag of candy out. He didn't have to give that bag of candy out. He could have said, nope, you gave it to me. This is my candy. If they want candy, tell them to go get their own candy. Tell them to go get a job and get candy. Tell them to be nice to pastor once in a while and he'll give them candy. You know what? They can do it themselves. And you know what? We're not content. Because it's mine. And I want more. And I'm going to keep stacking up mine. And individuals today have done this in their lives. And they're not content. But secondly, how do we be content? We use opportunities God gives us. But look at verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know what he realized? He realized it's not that he needed anything. He realized what God wanted to do in and through them. You know a secret for blessing is using the opportunity, but also realizing the purpose of all that we have. The purpose of what we have. Do you know we're not to build up treasures here on earth? We're to build up treasures where? In heaven. Do you see what he said? He says, it's not that I think I need more. It's not that I have to have more. It's not because of those things. Paul's saying, you know what? I'm glad you're giving again. I'm glad you're taking care of my needs. But it's not that I have want. Because Paul realized he had everything he needed. His purpose was this. He wanted them to see this, that the purpose was because of what they needed to do with what God has given them. But Paul also realized that he had everything he needed. He was content. You know what that word content means? It means satisfied. It means he had everything he needed. Well, how did Paul have everything he needed? He was in prison. How did Paul have everything he needed? Because he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He went through all that. How did Paul have all that he needed in his life? Because he realized all he had needed in life was his relationship with his God. You see, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned no matter if I'm shipwrecked. I learned no matter if hard times have come. I've learned no matter what I have, content. I'm satisfied with it. Because I know what I have and what I'm going through is what God wants me to have and what God wants me to go through. That's the secret of being content in our lives, is to realize what you're going through, what you're facing, what's coming against you in your life is what God has for us. And God has allowed in our lives for this time. Now, it could be some things we've done. It could be because of other people. But God has allowed that. Nothing is going to happen in our lives that God has not allowed to happen. And we learn to be content. We learn to become satisfied with the circumstance that we're facing and what we're going through. When we realize, yes, there's been times I've learned to abound. There's times I've learned to abase. There's times I'm on the high. There's times I'm on the low. There's times where everything goes great. There's times everything goes bad. It doesn't matter if life is good. It doesn't matter if life is bad. It doesn't matter what I'm facing. I'm content. I'm satisfied. We get to the place that we realize we can find fault in everything if we want to find fault in it. A person that's content does not look for the fault, but looks and sees God's hand in it all. He says, it's not that I can't, it's not that I can, but it's what Christ can do. To be content is not self-satisfaction. I almost created my word that I did about 10 years ago. It's not self-satisfaction. We should never settle for less than our best. We're not to be content with our spiritual life. Okay? We need to keep growing. Contentment is not self-sufficiency. It doesn't mean that I'm all that I need in and of myself, because that's not contentment. Contentment is self-surrender. It is self-surrender. It carries this idea of to be self-contained, to have all needed within that comes from the Lord. It is this idea of being content, of saying, I'm glad that happened, not sad that it's over. All right? Now let me give a silly illustration. Tanya and I had the privilege to go away for a few days, and I'll be honest with you, I kept trying to convince her to stay one more day. Just one more day. One more day. I even checked and I could change it for not much, and I could do this for not much, just one more day. But you know, if I got that one more day, guess what I would want? One more day. And then if I got that one more day, what would I wanted, Rich? One more day. And then if I was Rex, I would want another 2 weeks. And so, but learning to be content and glad that you have what you have, being this idea of, okay, I'm content by giving and seeing the opportunities I have. I'm content by taking those opportunities and giving what I have and using it. I'm content by this idea of realizing that I have all that I need in my life. I have everything that I need. What do you mean, preacher? I don't have everything I need. Paul could have used more. Paul could have been glad. He would have been happy not to be in prison. Do you know what? I believe Paul was happy he was in prison, because Paul was content of where he was at. And we look and we say, well, I want this and I want that. I want a better life. I want this to happen. I want my husband to be this way. I want my wife to be this way. And I want this to take place. I want to have the perfect children. And I want this and I want that. And I want more money. I want nicer clothes. Now, this idea of content. Do you know there is a red polo shirt I looked up online today that cost $8.99. It looked really nice. There's another red polo shirt that if you put it side by side and covered up the logo, you wouldn't know the difference between it. and that red polo shirt, made out of the same material as the other polo shirt, looked almost identical to the same polo shirt, was $110. Now, what is interesting with that is some people are content with the $8.99 polo shirt. All right? Some people want a certain brand of clothing. Now, when I was back a long time ago, the big brand, and this is one I looked up, was Ralph Lauren Polo Brand. And that shirt is $110 compared to the Walmart George brand for $8.99. Made out of the same material, will take care of the same purpose, do the same thing, and looks just as nice, just doesn't have a horse on it, all right? Now, what do we do many times? Well, I really don't want that. I want this. And we're not content. We get distracted because we look at other things. I'm not content with my family because I look and I see another family that's better. I see another family that the husband and wife seem to love each other the way they should. And I'm not content because my husband's not who he should be. My wife's not who she should be. We look and we see other families and the kids seem to be perfect children. And we say, well, look at our family. Our family's not perfect children. And we start to get distracted and we start to look. We even do that in churches. Oh, look at that church. It's growing. Look at that church, how big that is. Look how this and this. And we're not content for what God has given us. We start to get content. We look at our bank accounts. And we say, well, I don't have this much, but my wicked sister or my wicked brother, they have this much in their account. And we get distracted and we're not content of what we have and what we're given. We start to take our eyes and our focus off of what God has given us and we start to look at other things and we get distracted with those in our lives. He says, I've learned no matter what my circumstance is, to have joy, contentment with what I'm facing. Many in this room, you've had some tough times. You've had some hard life. You've gone through some struggles. You've gone through some emotional ups and downs and roller coasters all around. But do you know what? You can be content with what you have. One of the trips to Israel, we were able to go to a house of one of the individuals that lived there, and they were excited to show us their house. And we went into this house that was not that big. And some of the furniture at that time I was afraid to sit in because my weight probably would have crushed their stuff. But you know what? They were excited for what they had. And they wanted a show. They wanted people to see. And you know what they said every time? They would said that the Messiah has provided, that Jesus had provided. Look at what he gave me. Look at what he gave us. Look at this house. Look at this. And you and I would look at him and go, that'd make a nice playhouse for our kids. But I ain't going to live in that. When we learn to be truly thankful for all we have, we learn to be. Paul says, I'm thankful for the good and the bad. I'm thankful for everything that I have in my life. Now, verse 13, this next verse, ties into this. This is a verse we can apply it several different ways, and people have. But let's look at the main interpretation of this verse. Because we use this and say, I can do anything I want. I can do everything I can have through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. I have the power to do everything. there's some truth to that. But let's look at this in context of what this is talking about. Because this is the key to contentment. The key to contentment is realize the opportunities we have to be a blessing to others. The key to contentment is to realize we have all that we need in Christ Jesus. The key to contentment is to realize we need to be thankful for what we do have. But the key to contentment is to realize where the strength for contentment comes from. I can do all things through Christ Jesus with strength in me. Do you know who gives you the strength to be content? Christ Jesus. He gives you the power that you need to have the right attitude and to be satisfied with what you have. He gives us all we need. He gives us the strength that we need to be content. Because, guess what? I'm a selfish person. Anyone else in here selfish? I'm a selfish person. You know what I want? Say that. I want all this for me because I deserve it. Because it's what I want in life. Because I'm a selfish person. But through Christ, watch this. Through Christ, I have the strength to be content. With what I have. Oh, actually that's not for you. Now listen, watch. Because of Christ, I'm content with this. I have the strength to be able to be content and satisfied with just taking this and eating this. I will have the satisfaction that I need just from that. I don't need all the other things in life. God gives me the strength that I need to be satisfied with the lot of my life of where I'm at. But my selfishness says, I need all this. My selfishness says, I'm going to take it all. I'm going to have it all. Isaiah, I'll take care of you later. But this is the idea. God gives me the strength to be able to say, I don't need that. I don't need to compare myself to someone else. I don't need to look over there. You know, we always think the grass is greener on the other side. And that's why we're not content. But guess what? The grass still needs to be mowed on the other side too, all right? And we get so distracted of looking over and seeing other things. But God can give you the strength to keep you looking the right direction. You know who gives you the strength to stay focused on the author and finisher of your faith? That's how we stay content. Is Christ Jesus. He gives you that strength to realize, you know what? He's all that I need. I'm complete in Him. I don't need all this other stuff. I don't need all these other things. I don't need the vacation home in Hawaii. I don't need this. I don't need that. What I need is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ grow stronger, and He gives me the strength to satisfy my longing and my need in my life. He gives me all that I need. Do you know there's people today that keep trying to find contentment and satisfaction, and they're not tapping into the power, the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they always have to have the bigger, the better, and buy more, and buy more, and buy more, and buy more. Do you know, I read a story the other day of an individual that made $220 million a year. He made that for a little over 10 years, somewhere around that range. About 5 years ago, that individual had to file for bankruptcy. Making $220 million a year for 10 years. Why? Well, he had a house that cost $300 million. He had over 45 different vehicles. And the list went on and on of all the stuff that he had. It even gets sadder. This individual tried to find contentment in all those things, couldn't, and even took their life. Because contentment is not found in things. Contentment is found in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's where you find contentment. Do you know people say, well, I know Jesus. You might know him since you were a little kid because someone taught you about Jesus. Some of you remember maybe when you were 3 years old, Sunday school lessons, and you heard the name of Jesus that first time. Some of you remember as you got older, you read about him in even history books and different things, and you heard that he was a real person, and you knew him that way. And some as you got even older, you learned about doctrine, you learned about teaching, you were in the church and you heard about what Jesus did and about Jesus' healing, you knew him that way. But there must become a time in your life when you don't just know him, his name, you just don't know history about him, you just don't know doctrine about him, but there has to be a time in your life when you knew him personally and you received him and you called upon him and you asked him to save you. A lot of times in our churches, especially young people, they know the name, they know history, they know doctrine, but there's never been that personal time that they call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be that time in our life that we call upon him. The Bible says if we call upon him, if we reach out to him, he will come in, he will save us. We must receive him as our own personal Lord and Savior. And many in this world today are looking for something to fill that void, that contentment, that satisfaction in their lives. And they can't find it because they have not turned to Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. But believer, you can have contentment and satisfaction this morning no matter what you're facing. No matter how hard life seems. No matter what circumstances you're in. No matter what you're doing. One, you got to take opportunity. And the blessings you have, use those blessings for God's honor and God's glory. No matter what circumstance you're in, no matter what you're facing in your life, you need to understand and thank God for all that you do have. You need to thank God. You need to be thankful for those things you have. And thank God no matter how little it seems, no matter it seems minute compared to other people. Thank God that you have a husband. Thank God you have a wife. Thank God you have kids. Thank God you have a house. Thank God that you have food. Thank God that you have a car. Thank God you have a job. Thank God for all that you have. Be content. Come to a place also that you realize you're complete in him. He's all that you need. And then fourthly, realize he's the strength that you need to be content. We're selfish, but he can give us the strength to realize we don't need all that we think we need. All we need is Jesus. Find your contentment in him. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word.